Blog Talk Radio.
Back on the air again, it's Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. As we're here, we're doing a show today. We're testing out some new equipment as well. Hopefully everything sounds good. The old new microphone, the old new mixer, all getting set for high school football that you will hear on the Couch Potato Sports Show starting not this Thursday, but next Thursday. We're about ready to kick it into football here as we go through the NFL season. We bring the High School of Texas schools here of the Rowlett Eagles. And thanks to our locs, thanks for the people that actually come in and tune in and listen to the show that are locally here in the Rowlett area. We appreciate that. I got a special request to come tonight to the Booster Club for the Booster meeting tonight. I was actually thrilled that they thought of me and asked me to come in and speak a little bit about our program and what we are doing from week in, week out in high school football for the Rowlett Eagles locally. And that is something that I'm actually quite proud of. That took a lot of work. It took a lot of things that in order for that to work, mainly to get in with the Garland ISD, and hopefully they like what we do and what we do on a weekly basis. So that's the big thing here as we move into the 2015-2016 Rowlett Eagles radio broadcast season for football. Then, of course, we're going to kick it up in about mid-December, get the basketball going as well. Remember, there are only 10 football games plus the playoffs, and then basketball is going to start up. We're going to be bringing you, hopefully, I know we're going to bring you one tournament that the Rowlett Eagles are going to be a part of. We're trying to get two, quite possibly three. My sponsors will love the fact that we get even one because that means extra plays for their sponsorship. So that I wanted to put that out there for those that are listening locally here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and our local people who promote the actual Rowlett Eagles. That's so cool. And I'm so happy that the local people have grasped on to what we do in order to bring you Rowlett Eagles football. So didn't want to spend a lot of time on that, as we're going to get Cuervo calling in here any moment, as we're going to be talking a little bit about what happened in the NFL, because what happens every single year, there are injuries. The injury reports are going to start stacking up. Players that were expected to be a big part of football teams are not going to be a part of football teams. And that right there tells you a lot about what is coming your way as far as maybe what kind of season your team can happen. So looking at a lot of things, injuries that happened, there was one I know of, an Achilles injury. How will that affect them? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the games where everybody happy about it. Who cares? Do they care? Why should we care? All that in preseason. Now, the preseason does set you up in reality to what's going to happen for your football team. The preseason will give you an indication. Now, that indication could be definitely sidewinded. And I say sidewinded in a way that you can't trust it to be completely true, depending on what team you are. There have been many a times where you've seen a team, and just recently the Arizona Cardinals go undefeated in the preseason, not even make the playoffs. It happens every single year. It's nice to see your team win in the preseason, but really doesn't matter. And so we're going to be talking to Cuervo about that, if he can get in here and start talking a little bit of sports as far as the NFL is concerned. Now, there's also some other situations going on as far as injuries. We talked about Matt Schaub, the backup quarterback. He's been a victim of a lot of things coming his way. And it's not players that are going after him. is certain players on his own team. Terrell Suggs is even talking about him a little bit, probably more than he should. And I find that very interesting as far as that football team is concerned, especially the Ravens. The Ravens, you know, when I looked at the Ravens and I look at their actual roster as of right now and who's expected to make it and who's not expected to make it, I do like what I'm seeing coming from the Ravens as far as the AFC North, of course. So that being said, when you look at the roster and you like what the quarterback, when we're talking about the Ravens are a football team that have the potential to be in the Super Bowl, but they actually have the occasion all the time to go ahead and drop the ball in the playoffs.
So, you didn't know.
But let's go ahead and bring him on in case you didn't
know.
You
have been a call somebody.
That's right. You have been a call on Cuervo here on the Monday Maniac Show here on Monday afternoon over there in Cali. How you doing, Cuervo? Hold on. I got to push the button. There he is. How you doing, Cuervo?
I'm well, Sonny. Speaking about somebody who rarely drops the ball, I'm not going to say I never do, but on this show, we don't miss many passes. But no, I'm actually not in California right now. I'm in the Midwest. I'm out visiting some family, so I'm in your time zone right now.
In our neck of the woods, as is normally in Cali. When you headed back over to Cali?
I actually leave tomorrow night. So I'll be back in California tomorrow night.
So you're going to get back to your old stomping grounds over there in Cali. Now, let me just ask you this, because I'm going to be honest, as much as I love the NFL and as much as what's going on, I have only watched, and this is not an exaggeration, 15 minutes of preseason football this year. 15 minutes, that's all I've watched, and I heard of one injury already happening, as an Achilles is going to put someone down for 8 months as far as the Vikings are concerned. I saw an interview where I had a moment, and sure enough, someone got hurt. What did you think so far as the preseason, where it's going? You've seen training camp and heard all the reports of certain teams. What's your take on, so far, the training camp and preseason?
Well, you know, Sonny, I will say this. I think so far teams have been a little lucky. They're on a bit of the lucky side, because what's the one thing we really haven't heard about so far this preseason? Not many injuries. So hopefully for all the teams, that continues for them. Because, you know, you never want to see something like that. So, you know, we want to see the stars. That's why we watch the NFL. That's why we love the game. We love to see the competition at the highest level possible. And for the majority of it, with the exception of, you know, broken jaw, unless I'm missing something, I haven't seen any major injury news coming out of any camp.
Well, I'll give you an update here. Buffalo Bills running back Carlos Williams, he was hospitalized on Monday. That's according to Rex Ryan. So he was the tailback, was quote unquote a lot of pain on Monday morning. So they're right now, the extent of the injury is unknown. But I will tell you, the Buffalo Bills need to make sure they have a healthy tailback because of the situation with certain players. Will they be there? Will they won't? It's going to be huge. Will Fred Jackson be back? As far as the Buffalo Bills are concerned, that's going to be something that they got to look at as far as their future. As far as that, also the Denver Broncos, CJ Anderson, he left the game this week, this weekend, according to reports, he is fine and expected to be 100%. He's been cutting and he's been running. So he had a little problem there with a low hit on him, as that is concerned. The Atlanta Falcons at a practice, Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman They are going to be suited up tonight as when they take up, but they're dealing with hamstrings. So this is the one that I was hearing about, the linebacker from the Bills, TJ Powell. He tore his ACL. So he was carted off the football field for the, I think that's going to be an injury that's going to be huge. And the other one I heard about was Phil LaHolt for the Vikings. North Turner says he tore his Achilles tendon in the second quarter of that game a little bit. When he comes back, I just seen that he was dropped. Alshon Jeffrey is not wearing the walking boot for the Chicago Bears, and that's a good thing. So that's huge. The Dolphins also, Kenny Stills, he practiced on Monday, and the cornerback Brian Jones had an MRI on his left shoulder to determine the severity of an injury that he got over this weekend. So that one's going to be something that the Dallas Cowboys need to definitely figure out. I hope everybody can hear me as we are using the new hi-fi, and I'm going to click them in here and bring them back here. All right, Cuervo, you can hear me, right?
I can hear you, Sonny. It's not a problem on your end. It's just even though I'm in the Midwest, I'm in the cornfields of the Midwest, so I'm going to be cutting in and out. Yeah, I mean, I flew into Chicago, but I drove down near Springfield, so
that's
my dilemma.
So, well, all right, very good. So that being said, you're in Springfield, Illinois, heading south, right? Or you're heading back up to Chicago?
No, I'm going to be staying here in the Springfield area. It's actually, technically, it's Lincoln, Illinois, but I don't know how familiar you are with the central.
Very familiar. My brother lives in Springfield, so my brother's been there for 35 years. Very familiar with Springfield. In fact, that's where we got our start. When we started doing sports, we were part of a WQNA. It's a local community radio station down there. It's how we got started on the radio in the first place. So I was just going over some of the injuries. A Seahawks backup quarterback. I didn't know he still played. Jackson, high ankle sprain. He's going to be out at least 2 weeks. That's according to Pete Carroll. Did you even know that Tavares Jackson was still playing in the NFL?
Say that one more time, Sonny.
Yeah, did you even know Tavares Jackson was still playing in the NFL?
I saw him the other day, and I had to look again. I was like, wait a minute. Is that Tavares Jackson? Wow. And, I know they had another backup quarterback. I thought they had Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, they have Terrell Pryor. That is correct. Yep.
So I thought he was still a Seahawk, but I guess not. And I see Tavares Jackson. I'm like, wow, I didn't know he was on the team anymore. So I had to take it off. You're not the only.
Got it. Yeah, and you are cutting in and out. We're getting the gist of what you're saying. That is a good thing. But just in case you didn't hear, the one that Alshon Jeffries, I think, is good news for your Chicago Bears. He's no longer wearing the walking boot. I'm going to tell you, if the Chicago Bears can remain healthy at the wide receiver position with Alshon Jeffries, and depending, it's just all depends on what they're going to get at the quarterback position. So why don't you let people know what you're hearing about your Chicago Bears and the quarterback position? Are they happy? Well, I don't think anybody's happy with Jay Cutler, but the simple fact of the matter is, going into the season, I don't think they have much of a choice. Okay, I lost you completely there now, Cuervo. He must be going through a very, very high cornfield area. where he's at right now in Lincoln. So he's going to try to give us a call back and get back up on it. But, you know, depending on the Chicago Bears, they've got a lot of work to do this year. We went through the injuries here really quickly we were talking about the injuries that happened over the weekend. Ty Powell tore his ACL, and that is huge for the for the Buffalo Bills. I think that's going to be something that you're going to have to walk around. And nor the offensive tackle, Phil Holt, I think is a big, big loss. Phil Holt getting majorly hurt. He is going to be out as he tore his Achilles, and that's going to be huge. And let's see if we got him back. But let's go back to Cuervo. Your Chicago Bears, I think they're – I don't know if they're in a lot of trouble or what the situation is, but, I mean, their quarterback position has got to be one of those things that are very shaky for this football team going into the 2015-2016 season.
Well, I don't know how much you heard me saying, Sonny. I don't know if you can hear me any better now, but
Yeah, it's much better.
What I was getting at is either Bears fans kind of, you know, get behind Cutler and get on, you know, have his back, or we get to see Jimmy Clausen. And there's a reason that Jimmy Clausen is no longer with the team that drafted him, and he's not a starter because he doesn't have what it takes. So, you know, Bears fans are going to have to, on the bandwagon of Jay Cutler, at least for one more season, you know, unless they decide to make a move after this year. So, you know, all those meatball Bears fans that are like, bring Clausen in, I really don't think you want that in reality. You can say that all you want, but again, there's a reason this guy's been on three or four different teams, and he's been in the league half the amount of time that Cutler has.
Absolutely, and that's a huge thing when you look at what's going on. But let me ask you a question. During week number one in the preseason, did anything kind of shock you? Anything come to mind? Anything that you saw this week as far as the games were concerned that surprised you? I have to admit, I look at the Eagles getting a 36-10 win. They started off on the Colts really quick, and when I look at preseason, especially the first game, I only really look at the first quarter, depending on how long the starters went. And the Philadelphia Eagles put a quick beating on the Colts, 13-3 in the first quarter. That tells you a little bit about this football team and where they're headed in the as far as the season is concerned.
Yeah, you know, so I don't know if I want to think it really shocked me or surprised me, but I kind of go back to the injury thing, but I didn't get a chance to. How did San Francisco look in that first quarter of their game against? I think they played. Didn't they play Houston?
Yeah, San Francisco, they took on, I'm looking for the game here, it was Houston got the victory 23-10 in that game. But just like I said, I like going by the first quarter, and Houston 8-0 over San Francisco. And then San Francisco came in the second quarter. Depending on how long the starters played in that, San Francisco went on a 10-0 run in the second quarter. So at halftime, it was 10-8.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there you go. I mean, and I wouldn't look too much into that, like personally, but, you know, looking at just the first quarter alone, I mean, San Francisco put up a goose egg, and I guess I wouldn't say that it would shock anybody, but, I did see just a little bit of the highlight, and Kaepernick looked like he was running around with like a chicken with his head cut off. So that right there, that is a huge sign of bad things to come for the 49ers. And you know, it makes you wonder how bad is this team going to be? I mean, we all know that they're going to drop, you know, as far as production and stuff like that. I mean, they've lost pretty much every defensive, you know, star that they had. But the reality is, how bad is it going to be for the 49ers? And,
you know. Well, I'll tell you, I've been watching just the highlights. This defense better learn how to tackle. That's number one. The tackling that they're showing, as far as it's horrible. If guys are not in position or anything, but you also got to take a look at it. Hoyer was at the quarterback position for the Houston Texans, where they did most of their scoring. But I'm gonna tell you, that defense is as locked down as it was last year. If any indication here as far as this defense is concerned in the secondary. The tackling is atrocious. Now, the defensive line, they're stopping them. I mean, there were three runs that they were trying to get into the end zone, the Texans, and they stuffed them. So you're not probably going to run on this team like last year. If you go by what we are seeing in these highlights, they did not get it on four straight downs, but that tackling in the secondary, as that's going to be, I think that's going to be something, and you can mark my words, if it continues and they don't straighten that out, that's going to be the sore thumb for the San Francisco 49ers, because all you're going to have to do is throw on them, and then if you got a wide receiver or even that, a running back that can juke on this defense, they might leave them in the dust.
All I got to do is go look at Bears defense 2 years ago. You know, when it got really
absolutely
bad with the good old Mel Tucker, and you know, that guy couldn't coach defense to save his life. I'm sorry, but he just wasn't a very good defensive coordinator, and that's the problem that the Bears had. They couldn't cover anybody. You know, they couldn't read plays. They couldn't read the offense, and most importantly of all, they couldn't tackle. I can't even tell you how many.
Is Tucker the defensive coordinator over there? Cuervo is Tucker
no.
the defensive. Oh, I was going to say, but.
Gone. Long gone. No, we Got have. It. Matter of fact, speaking of the 49ers, just so you know, the new defensive coordinator in Chicago is the one that just left San Francisco, Vic Fangio.
Oh, that's a great pickup, though, for your Bears, at least defensively.
It is.
Yeah, it's huge.
Well, and, you know, the move I like even more, though, Sonny, is. You know, speaking of the bad Bears defenses, you know, the part that they struggled the most was in the secondary. So not only did they bring over the defensive coordinator from San Fran, but they also brought in their defensive back coach, the secondary coach.
And their offensive coordinator, if I'm not mistaken, is Tony Sparano. So that, you know, as much as I like him, I really do. I love him. I love him only as... I only love him as a coordinator, not a head coach. But I, you know, if you're San Francisco, I think you got to do better than Tony Sparano.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they tried to work it out in Dallas, didn't work. They tried to work it out in Miami, didn't work. So I don't know what Cisco thought was going to be different about going to their team, but chances are it's probably not going to work. I mean, he tried working with Parcells. He tried working
Okay, I think I lost you again, Cuervo. At least you're kind of cutting there. But you're right. I see exactly what you're talking about. As Sperano is a guy that just kind of reminds me of one, you know, head coach that played, you know, was the head coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars, then went to the offense coordinator over in Atlanta. So, you know, it's my pet peeve on the, you know, if you can't do it in other places, what was San Francisco thinking as far as Tony Sparano is concerned? I don't know. You don't, if you have Tony Sparano, you don't have him as your offensive coordinator. You have him as a position coach, and then if you need him. But they are depending on Tony Sparano on the offensive side of the ball to, you know, as far as lead, you know, his head coach with the right plays. And I don't know if that's the right thing. I think San Francisco is in a lot of trouble. You know, he's just, you know, when you look at Sperano, he's kind of the Dirk Cotter of the offensive line. You know, I don't know. We'll just find out. It's got to be something that he's seen. But then again, I go back to the fact that I don't even know who this coach is, and I think that's going to really affect this football team. Because I think, and I'll ask Cuervo what he thinks, when you don't have a guy that has been proven as a head coach, and you had a guy such as Harbaugh that was there who obviously was proven as a head coach, and you go to a guy that, I think it's a respect issue. And the only way you get respect is by people knowing who you are, Cuervo. I just honestly believe that.
No, you're right, Sonny, and I don't know how well you can hear. And the way to respect, too, is you know, you got to produce. You got to bring in the results.
Absolutely.
You could be not.
I think I agree with you 100%. I don't know, Cuervo, you're kind of popping in and out there with your phone. Let's try again, you know, drop down and then get back in with us. Maybe you'll get a better connection. But it's something that, as far as the NFL is concerned, you know, and I'm going to go back to what I've said in the past as far as what you're going to do as far as your football team, how you start off the season, you know, in preseason doesn't mean anything. But where you are as far as a team is at your quarterback, now you have Colin Kaepernick. Now, he's better than most. He's not as good as the best. But when you put him up against some of the guys that are playing, I mean, for crying out loud, when you take a look at this football team, you know, they had Brian Hoyer backing up at, you know, over there, and they could not stop him in the fourth quarter. Houston. You know, not that they scored a lot of touchdowns. They didn't. They only scored one touchdown, and I don't think it was Brian Hoyer that threw the touchdown, but they were able to get close enough to get field goals. And, you know, sooner or later, that part's going to end up happening when you take a look at the full season, how it's going. Hoyer was only 2 of 4, 67 yards and a touchdown pass. Mark that. There were two touchdowns. They missed an extra point, which was Savage threw a touchdown. But listen to who played at the quarterback position for your Houston Texans. Savage, Ryan Mallett, who got he didn't get most of the snaps, but I thought he was going to be the actual starter, and Brian Hoyer, but the way Savage played, they kind of looked like they're going to go Savage as the starting quarterback in Houston. So I gotta ask Cuervo the question. When you look at the Tennessee Titans, should Ryan Mallett be starting for this football team, or should it be a guy that not a lot of people have heard of? But I mean, people have heard of Tom Savage.
People have heard of him, Sonny. But, you know, I think for Houston, where they're at right now as a club, I don't think there should be any specific, you know, go for a team like that. And, you know, just because what it's going to do, it's a little more of that competitive.
Yeah, we're definitely having a hard time with you, but I hear what you're saying, the competitiveness. Brian Hoyer, I thought that Mallett was going to be the write-in. I forgot Hoyer, who's kind of like the write-in at the quarterback position for the Texans, which is scary in reality if you're looking at a football team and you got to ask yourself that question. When you are going to – I mean, the Houston Texans have told their football team and their fans that they're not interested in winning. I'm sorry. You got Brian Hoyer, you have Savage, and – I think if you're not starting the guy that learned behind Tom Brady as your starting quarterback, I think they're absolutely crazy. I don't know, Cuervo, are you back there? Do we got you here?
I don't know, Sonny. Can you hear me any better?
There we go. I got you.
I think it's just going to help motivate the team a little bit more if they see that the quarterback, you know, position is being open for competition and everybody's competing at a high level. I think that's the best route for the Texans to go instead of just naming somebody. I think they should make a competition out of it, and I think it's only going to motivate everybody else.
I think with this football team saying that Brian Hoyer is going to be your starter if they go that route, I think they're really putting themselves behind the eight ball in week number one. And you're talking about a division right now as far as the South is concerned. You look at the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know what you can really expect from them. The Indianapolis Colts, obviously the class of the division in reality with Andrew Luck. They've got their starting quarterback. And if you're the Texans and you look at the teams that are in the South, you've got to ask yourself, there should be no reason why they're not competing for that championship in the AFC North. I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars scare absolutely nobody. And when you don't have a team that can scare anybody, that's your problem. But you know, I forgot who's the other AFC South team I'm missing. My brain just went into a dead beat.
Well, let's see. You've got Jacksonville, you got Houston, you got Indianapolis, and then you also have the Tennessee Titans.
Ah, the Titans. Now, here there's, you know, doing the research that I'm doing as we're going to probably get ready to start our show and get ready. I'm hearing there's a lot of people feeling really good about the Tennessee Titans. But, I mean, all you got to do is look at the history, and I don't know if you can trust what everybody's feeling good about, Eric Cuervo, as far as Tennessee is concerned.
And that's why I'm laughing. And I know you shouldn't judge off of one preseason performance, but my God, I mean, how much worse could it have looked for Marcus Mariota in his first game as a quarterback? You know, he's supposed to be the franchise quarterback. I mean, I'm not saying they invested a lot in him. I mean, they used the number two pick.
Well, that's an investment now because it's not about money anymore, right?
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, it's about the future for them. And you know, unfortunately, things didn't work out with Jake Locker, and it happens. But, you know, if you're a Titans employee, my God, even if you're the janitor, I mean, you feel like, boy, you know, did they make the right decision by taking Mariota? And, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody that loves Mariota because, oh, his character. Well, character doesn't really win you football games, okay? And that's why when people ask, who would you rather have, Winston or Mariota? I mean, I didn't hesitate. I said, James Winston's going to win games. You can make fun of him all you want about crab legs and all that stuff, but the kid can play, and the kid knows how to win. So,
it's a playmaking ability. I think the difference between Jameson and Mariota. Mariota will set himself into bad decisions, like the interception on the screenplay. But getting sacked, holding onto the ball too long. But he doesn't have the legs that Winston has that can get him out of trouble.
Right, and you know, Mariota is going to be the proof, Sonny, that I think people have been waiting for those that don't buy into how great Oregon football is.
Okay? Right.
And I'm one of them. It's all about. You're in college football.
Mark right. All right, Cuervo, I just lost you again, but I got the gist of what you were saying there. I don't know if it's the area. Mariota, you know, if you look at the stats, 7 of 8, 94 yards and 1 interception, but really the fumble that you got to remember as well. But you know what? I don't know. It just depends if this guy can learn to read defenses and what's coming at him. I don't know if it's fair to rip on him, but I will tell you that's not a great start. It's a great position, especially when you are in a battle at the quarterback position with Mettenberger, Charlie Weiss-Hertz, which I think never got the proper opportunity to play, and then a young guy in reality, and Alex Tenney. So, you know, from a nowhere school that no one's ever heard of. So, you know, you got to be able, if you're Marietta, okay, is prevent, you know, throwing interceptions and making mistakes, but you got to be able to take that step forward. And as much as I love, you know, their head coach, you know, that's going to be a problem. Ken Wisenhunt has got to figure out a way to get Mariota to play NFL football quickly, Cuervo. I think the Titans could be in real big trouble, especially against the six games that they got to play just right there in their own division.
Right, right. How do I sound right now, Sonny?
Better, a lot better.
Okay, well, then I'm just going to stick to where I'm at right now because apparently this driving around thing's not working, so I'm just going to stay right here. But, yeah, I mean, The Titans are, yeah, you're right. They're in huge trouble. I don't expect a whole lot out of this team. I'd be surprised if they win six games this year. And not to give away my a little, you know, not to give it away too much, but it doesn't look good for them. It's not going to be a good season for Titan fans, and they're going to be right up there with San Francisco in the top five of the draft.
Well, the only thing that they're going to have to do, Cuervo, is they're going to have to figure out who's their quarterback is going to be. And then Ken Whisenhunt is going to have to go to cram mode. And I'm talking about cram mode, getting ready for week number one, because it just got done as we're sitting here. I watched the highlights and they were god awful. Now, granted, it was his first preseason game. I guess maybe if you want to give him a break, you can go ahead. But I don't think Ken Whisenhunt has the time to do that. I think Ken Whisenhunt needs to go with the guy that's hot at week number one, whether it's Mariota or whether it's anybody else at the quarterback position. I hate to say Mettenberger. At least he's got a lot of NFL experience compared to him. I mean, he played like six games last year. So he's got six games underneath his belt. He kind of knows a little bit about what could be coming his way on the defensive side of the ball coming in his face. So that's going to be something that the Texans are going to have to figure out. But I think where they're really hurting, and you can say what you want, you can't go into the season. I mean, listen to their wide receivers for this Tennessee Titans football team. It's sad. I mean, really sad. They got Daniel Cobb, which is no name in reality, 11 catches, 53 yards. You have Bishop Stanky. He's a running back, but he can mark that. I'm on the wrong one. Kaufman at the wide receiver position. Douglas, catching the football. And Super Knock. I mean, come on. These are guys that no one's heard of. I'm looking at the wide receiver position for the Tennessee Titans, and I am asking myself, who the hell are these guys catching the football? They're nobody. And that's going to be a problem for the Titans as they move forward in this season. Because if they don't have anybody they can really depend upon throwing the football, how can you expect that much more from them? I don't think you can. Just listen to this. I hate just doing it by name, but I mean, come on. I mean, I want to know Chase Kaufman. Okay, get it. He's six-year pro. I know who he is. I got it. Understand, but Harry Douglas, I love the fact they got him, but you got to make sure you got a quarterback that they can throw to him. I think that was a good pickup, but the rest of them, I mean, Philip Supernaw, I'm sorry. Say what you want. You could talk about what happened last year. I just don't believe in this guy. Rico Richardson is not a guy that I'm feeling good. Antonio Andrews, they got a lot of stuff. He was out in the wide receiver position for him. And Jacoby Ford is in his fifth year. If he's going to take a step forward, he better do it soon, because if he doesn't do it soon, that's going to be a problem for the Tennessee Titans as they move forward.
Okay, and as I switch earphones myself, I had to switch them. It's a little warm, so I had my nice Bose headphones on, so I switched back to the telephone, so we're probably a little bit low as far as the quality is going to be a little bit different. Supposedly this mixer is supposed to be better than what we are. We'll check that out as we move on for the rest of the show. I don't know if we're going to get Cuervo in, as he's been bouncing in and out as far as the Couch Potato Sports Show is concerned. That being said, you take a look at the season and where everybody is going and how you feel about your football team. I think you got to, first of all, and it's, you can call it whatever you want. You can call it this, you know, the atypical response. Where you're at as a team has to start at your quarterback position. And what the team is going to do as far as the quarterback position for your football team is going to make or break what you're going to see week in, week out for your football team. I think there's a big, huge difference as you go in and look at things as far as the season is concerned. So watch out for your football team where you are. Let's go over, let's talk about week number one as if it means anything. And I want to get to that. I don't even watch too much preseason football unless I just happen to be flipping channels. Sonny, you're crazy. You love football. I don't love preseason football. It's a waste of my time. The only thing I want to hear is the end results of injuries. period. I don't care if the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Arizona Cardinals 34-19, although we know the Cardinals are in a lot of trouble. I don't care. Okay? I don't care that Denver beat Seattle in the preseason game. Don't care. Not only that, beating them by two. Don't care. Don't care that Carolina beat Buffalo 25-21, although there are some little indications in those games that you can look at and ask yourself how that ended up. Baltimore and New Orleans, I love the fact that they finished out that 30-27 with Baltimore getting the victory, but they're evidently throwing the football, and they evidently got a backup quarterback in as far as the Saints are concerned. And so that's huge. Whether it's two or three, I don't know. I didn't watch. Because we don't care. Drew Brees is the starting quarterback for the Saints. The Jets getting hammered by Detroit. Don't surprise me at all. That's a football team. And whether or not that you think it's important or not, will it be something that they got to worry about? I think that's something they do got to worry about. So you got to ask that question. So as we move on and get into this season, you're going to look at some teams and you're going to ask some other questions. Let's just go over them. Baltimore beat the Saints 30-27. Detroit beat the Jets 20-3. Green Bay doubled up on the New England Patriots 22-11. The Chicago Bears got the victory over against the Dolphins 27-10. Washington 20. Cleveland 17. San Diego 17. The Dallas Cowboys 7. And if you've seen the picture of Philip Rivers right behind Jerry Jones just laughing, it's a great picture. It's going to be a classic in the NFL. Tennessee did take the loss against the Atlanta Falcons 31-24. Carolina got the victory over Buffalo 25-24. The Giants, no big surprise, lost their football game 23-10. And, folks, I'm going to put it out there before we even get to our preseason. The Giants are going to finish last in their division, in the NFC East. Just putting it out there. It's going to be real interesting to find out where other people have them. It's going to be real interesting to ask yourself the question, what is going to happen to Eli Manning? It's going to be interesting. Jacksonville got the victory over the Steelers 23-21. Oakland beat the Rams 18-3. I think St. Louis, they're going to have a lot of work to do. They're going to have to check it out. Like I said, week number one, everybody can be a little rusty. Denver 22, Seattle 20, Houston 23, the 49ers 10. Minnesota beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 25-16. Kansas City beat the Arizona Cardinals 34-19, and Philadelphia 35, and the Indianapolis Colts 10. So, it just all depends on what you think of week number one in preseason. Is it important to you as you move on when you take a look at your team? Is it important for them to get the victories in the preseason? What I'll say is it's important to see certain things happen. But at end result of a football game in the preseason, you won't know if it actually happened unless you watched it. Clowney returns to practice today. So that, as far as the defense, I don't know if he'll be ready to go. Will he be 100%? The Jets are unhappy with Geno Smith post-surgery. His throwing post-surgery. Wow, big surprise. The guy just got out of a surgery, and he's out there at least. Hey, if anything, at least Geno Smith's out there trying right after a surgery with a broken jaw. I mean, the guy's not going to be 100%. I'm sorry. The Browns, they struggle in the scrimmage with Gilbert. That, you know, I don't know. That's going to be something that you're going to have to watch. Big time, huge stuff. Now, when you take a look at football, you have to ask, there's going to be something huge. depending on who you believe. If you believe on former Jaguar shorts, he's saying Bartles is going to be the answer, and he's going to be a superstar in the league. That's coming from a wide receiver that played with him. Do you care? And I know it's hard to say, should you care? What a former wide receiver, Shorts, out of all the people, Shorts, do you care about his opinion? Does his opinion mean anything? And I think you got to ask and you got to say to yourself, you know, no. So, the Jacksonville Jaguars, my team, I just want to find something to root them on for. And I don't know if we're going to get it. I don't know if that's going to be something that's going to happen. It's only time will tell as far as that is concerned. Time will tell. Now, I don't want anybody to think that I'm crazy. Well, you know, I don't know. You can say what you want. But the Eagles got their victory, 35-10 over Indianapolis, okay? Got it. By the way, Arizona, wow, holy smoke. This one just popped across my screen, and I'm going to go up, and I got to hit a button because, you know, I don't know. This might be big. Let's go ahead and hit this button. This just came across my screen. And I don't know. If you're an Arizona Cardinal fan, you're happy. If you're an Arizona Cardinal fan, you're happy. But the Arizona Cardinals, they signed Chris Johnson. I don't know. Is that going to help? I don't know. But the Arizona Cardinals, they've got a lot of work to do. I mean, they lose their leader. I'm sorry. When you're the Arizona Cardinals and you lose your defensive coordinator, that's huge. Very huge. And wait a second. I broke a story, and maybe it was maybe I missaw something. Maybe it's something that maybe I shouldn't have spoke. But it is my understanding that Chris Johnson signed with the Arizona Cardinals. So we got to find out if that's the situation. And of course, for some reason, there we go. Yes. I was correct. The Arizona Cardinals, this was 34 minutes ago. Evidently, it broke, and it just came across my screen. And the funny thing about this is that Chris Johnson, I don't know. He posts his gunshot wound on Instagram. I don't know. I just go to the fact that there's just so much stupidity now. Arizona Cardinals, if everything goes well, and it did. And I don't know. The Arizona Cardinals need to – earlier this year, evidently, Johnson was shot in the shoulder in a drive-by shooting. Why would you put your wound up? I just don't understand that. And then my question is that if you're Chris Johnson, my question is how did you get into a situation where you found yourself in the drive-by? I don't know. I mean, when you're Chris Johnson, I mean, I don't know too many places, you know, depending on where you're living. I mean, you stay away from the areas that could end up happening. I'm a little bit mixed up. By the way, Arizona Cardinals, Jen Welter meets the female referee in the game. Now, that part was set up, and I get it and understand. You know, as far as the NFL is concerned, I really think... Although it was a great thing that they did with Jen Welter, I think they're reaching and they're trying to make stories and stuff like that with them, and I don't know. So as far as the NFL is concerned and what we've been talking about here this whole hour, you know, talking about things, how about RG3, he coming out and saying that he thinks, now this is according to RG3, he feels he can be the NFL's best quarterback. And all I got to say is, you got a long way to go, my friend. Got a long way to go. You're not even, RG3, if you go back and listen to our show, I think I had him ranked the 24th or 25th best quarterback in the NFL. He's got a lot of guys that he's going to have to bounce over in order to be the best quarterback in the NFL. It's nice. I'll say this. It's nice to be confident about your stuff, but don't go out there and make comments. The guy, what he needs to say is, you know, I can be a top 15 quarterback, not the best quarterback in the league. Like I said, I feel like I'm the best quarterback in the league, and I'm going to have to go out and show that. Well, duh. I mean, come on, Heavy. I love it. See, that's why I don't like going and talking to football players. When you get the political correct answer. Depending on who you're talking to, it's 98% of all interviews, you know, you're going to get a political correct answer. And God, I hate it. So as the season moves on, we will find out if RG3 can actually go out and do what he's got to do. And I don't know if RG3 can call himself, you know, the best quarterback. I want to see. And as great as everybody was talking about, they took him, he was the best, blah, 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 blah. Whenever I heard that, I felt like I was Charlie Brown listening to the teacher. Wah, 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 wah. Here's what I know, okay? In limited play, Tim Tebow, 6 of 12, 69 yards. Now, Barkley, obviously, he's the guy that's obviously set to be the starter. 12 of 20, 190, one interception, no touchdown passes. Guess who throws the touchdown pass? Sanchez, 2 of 7. Now, with Sanchez getting the start in this football game, you got to ask yourself the question, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles going into this season, Mark Sanchez as your starting quarterback, you just can't be confident. It's going to be interesting on how that rolls for the rest of the season. If the Philadelphia Eagles start losing football games, you're going to see Tim Tebow. Although Matt Barkley might be the best answer there. But I think Tim Tebow, with his experience, he's got to be the second. And the Philadelphia Eagles are not a football team. They're a football team that are going to have to depend upon their run because they went out and grabbed their quarterback or their running back. But what I felt that was very interesting when you looked at this football team, two series for Sanchez at the quarterback position, two. And so they are coming out and saying that he's going to be their guy in reality. So you got to ask that question when you move on. Now, the Philadelphia Eagles, they put Barkley in in the game, and they put him to the test up until halftime. Barkley, right after he took over for Sanchez, played in the next five series for the Philadelphia Eagles. And he goes into the third quarter as well. When you look at what happened in that game, Barkley played a total of six series at the quarterback position. Then the rest of the game was Tim Tebow, and that's what it should be. The rest of the game for the Philadelphia Eagles is let's see Tim Tebow. Let's see what he can do. That was the right thing for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's going to be interesting to find out what happens up in Philadelphia as they move on and get set for the rest of their season. But when you look at that football team as well, as far as the Philadelphia Eagles, they got a quarterback issue. I hate, even in week number one, going into your season, for your football team, if your football team is having a quarterback competition, I don't think that's good for your football team. I just don't. So I'll bring back in Cuervo. When you look at a football team, you know, I don't like going into week number one with quarterback, even in the preseason. If I'm a football team, I want to know who my starting quarterback is in week number one of your preseason. What about you?
Sonny, can you hear me okay?
I got you good.
I'm trying to figure this area out, and I'm trying to figure out a good spot to to call you from.
Over near a water tower.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, if I could find one, that would be great. But, that is the goal. You know who your starter is by week. You're talking about regular season week one, I'm assuming, correct?
No, I think I want to know who my quarterback is in week number one. I don't like hearing that they are in a situation where they're still trying to figure out their quarterback. I think a training camp should have been enough.
Well, you know, Sonny, for some reason it's not. Okay, not everybody has an Aaron Rodgers on their team. Not everybody has Andrew Luck. Now, the last time I was on, we were talking about the Houston Texans, and I don't know if that's who you're still talking about, but for a team like that, I mean, when you think about it, there's just, I mean, look what they have to choose from. I mean, that's like,
Their wide receiver corps is horrible up there. The only thing they got is Harry Douglas, in reality.
Well, are you talking about Houston? They have Harry Douglas now?
No, I'm talking about Tennessee. The team you were just talking about.
Oh, that's even worse. That team needs a lot of help.
Ooh.
Anyway. So,
it's ugly. I was doing a little research, and I'm feeling scared for the Tennessee Titans and Ken Wisenhunt.
Country boy can survive.
But let's do this. Country boys can
survive.
I hit the wrong one. Wait a second. No, I want this one. That's the one I want. I don't care if it's politically incorrect or not.
Just the good old boys.
Song wasn't written.
Never mean it no harm.
Mean it no harm. Bring him in.
Beats all you right. Never saw.
Hey,
in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
I want to hear what you think about the Titans. I don't know how much you heard, but I went over the wide receivers for this football team, and they are, and Sonny loves Harry Douglas, but this is not your number one, your atypical number one wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, the Tennessee Titans are irrelevant. They're irrelevant. They don't even matter. I mean, they're terrible. I mean, you know, the Colts in Houston, that's their division.
Yep.
Ernie, it was terrible. Crazy knucklehead, terrible.
They're terrible. I mean, God, they're awful. And Cuervo combination, I mean, defensively, they could be great, although they've got a lot of improvement to do in the secondary. But, I mean, but your defense can be wonderful, but if you're not going to put points up, if this is the NFL, that's not for long. We all know that. If we don't watch it, I think Ken Wisenhunt could be the second coach fired in the NFL. And number one, I think it's going to happen for the Giants, because the part that no one heard that you guys didn't hear, and I put my first prediction of this season out, the Giants are going to finish last in the NFC East. And so I think we're going to lose their head coach. Yes, I'm putting it out.
I cannot imagine a team besides Washington finish that last
hole. Exactly. That's how, I don't know. I'm about ready to say, are you ready? RG3 is a better quarterback than Eli Manning this year. I'm putting it out there because, my God, I mean, you can say what you want. This is a football team that won two Super Bowls, but it sure in the hell wasn't because of Eli Manning. I left that one to you, Cuervo. You can't go silent on that one.
Cuervo's speechless.
Well, you know, Sonny, I don't know if you've been hitting the moonshine or what, but, man, RG3 is better than Eli. I mean, they're
right
both
now.
Bad. Okay? I mean, godly, RG3 is bad. He
RG3
is.
RG3
is
horrible. But that's
so
just,
is Eli, though.
What I think of Eli. Yeah.
Eli sucks, too.
Oh, man.
Well,
you know,
I tell you, the thing about Eli, and we've talked about this, Sonny, you love him 1 week, and then the next week you can't wait to trade him, or you can't wait to bench him, or you can't wait to just kick him in the nuts if you ever walk past him down in the street. So, I mean, that's how you feel about Eli Manning. At least with RG3, he sucks every week. So that's why I just can't agree with that statement that RG3 is better, because, you know, he's going to suck every week. At least Eli will give you a couple of good games.
Will the couple of games be enough? I mean, you know, I don't know. They got six tough games just within their division. That right there, you know, you got the Cowboys, you got the Eagles, I mean, and then you got the Giants. And those two teams, those are going to be the best games of the season for these football teams. I'm telling you, neither one of them is going to make the playoffs at all, and that's going to be huge. And, you know, looking at this team, I don't know, Cuervo, I can't see it.
You talking about the Giants and the Redskins?
Yes.
I think the Giants will do a little bit better than people think. I think that they'll be a 500 team. But as far as making the playoffs,
so.
Nah, I don't see them making the playoffs. But they're 500.
I'm still at 500, Cuervo. I just can't imagine.
Well, you know what, though? This is why I say that, though. And I think a lot of people have forgotten.
Odell Beckham?
No, it has nothing to do with Odell Beckham. Absolutely nothing to do with Odell Beckham. I'm going to tell you what it has to do with, though. Steve Spagnuolo is back in New York as the defensive coordinator, and that defense is going to be a lot better than they have the past few years. He makes all the difference for that Giants defense. You watch.
That's
for
a
the
good
defense.
Point.
It's a great point, but they still got to score. I mean, and I'm sorry, you do have Odell Beckham, and I get it, and I understand why everybody likes him, but you've got to get someone to deliver the ball.
How about the offensive line, Sonny? I mean, did they make any upgrades, really? I mean, Eli Manning's not a mobile quarterback, and it just seems like he has no time to throw the ball. I mean,
well, that's a big point, too, but I'm going to tell you this. Even if you got to be accurate. I'm sorry. Eli Manning is not an accurate quarterback. You don't want to go deep down him. I mean, someone's got to make a fancy catch down the field in order for anybody to get him. He's not accurate deep. That's huge, especially in this division. You got teams that will go deep. Tony Romo, I'm going to tell you right now, has improved his deep ball immensely. Why? Because he doesn't have to throw the football. But that's the problem. The Giants don't have anything to counter Eli Manning. Okay, they can't hand the ball off. I mean, who have they got in their running game that anybody is afraid of? Nobody. That's huge. And I don't think if you had the Dallas Cowboy offensive line that is supposedly the best in the NFL would help Eli Manning. The guy is not accurate. Now, I will tell you where he is really good at, okay, is finding his running back that goes out on the screen. But that's got to be a design play. It can't be something that ends up happening after a broken play. I just don't trust Eli Manning to be great. And you could say,
nope.
You know, I remember we were arguing just a few years back. I was actually saying Eli Manning, you know, has the two rings. Of course he's the better quarterback. And let me tell you something. I was so – hold on. I was so – one more time. I was wrong in that as far as that's concerned, because that defense won their Super Bowl for him, and a catch on a helmet won that Super Bowl for him. So, you know, I just don't have a lot of trust in Eli Manning.
Sonny, I was wrong with Flacco, and I'm easily to say that. I screwed up on him. I think Flacco was listening to me, Cuervo and Sonny.
Yeah,
I think
probably it.
You know, this guy's bashed me so much, and I hope to God that I'm not wrong on Cam Newton, but I know I'm not wrong on RG3. I think he sucks. I think he's going to continue to suck.
Who's
going to
be better, though, Eli Manning or RG3? In your opinion, Eli. You think Eli's going to be better?
Yeah.
He's got
better. I just think one thing about it is, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong because at least RG3 can scramble a little bit. You know, at least I can get that. And Gruden's a pretty good offensive coordinator, I think. He can help him, I don't know. It's tough because I've always bashed RG3 so much, it's hard for me to say he's going to have a better year than a quarterback with two rings. But Eli Manning is just straight garbage, too. So, really, I don't know, honestly. I don't know who's going to have the better year.
I'm thinking about switching a nickname to RG3 from somebody else who has it. RG Bad Hammy 3. I mean, stealing away from Austin on me because this guy, as far as RG3 is concerned, now – this is the only way I think Eli Manning is better than RG3, is this, that we don't see RG3 on the field. And that's something RG3 is going to have to change. His history is that guy can't do 16 games in the NFL. And that's just his history. At least Eli Manning can say that he's put in a couple of years at the quarterback position playing 16 games. I got to give him that. I got to give him the experience. But, man, if I am a football team about ready to start my team and I'm picking like we are in the backyard, okay, and I got my choice today of RG3 and Eli Manning, I think I'm going to RG3 before I'm going to Eli Manning. That's how much I don't trust Eli Manning at the quarterback position. And what I really don't trust about him is whether or not he's going to be able or capable of making the plays when they got to be made. Now, RG3 can make things happen. So, you know, that's why I kind of give the edge a little bit to RG3. And it's not because I want to be right about a crazy prediction. You know, I'm telling you, I was on the Hoyer bandwagon all year last year. And I'll tell you right now, the Texans are ready to go with Brian Hoyer all year long. And let me tell you something. They are making the biggest mistake that they could possibly make. He hasn't done anything. I mean, did they not watch film in Cleveland? I mean, geez, all you got to do is watch 16 football games with Brian Hoyer as your quarterback. Not even 16. And you're going to – and that's going to be your guy.
The ballot's not trying to – But Mallett's not doing anything to make him think that he wants that job.
But Mallett at least had Tom Brady to learn from. And if Mallett gets some time at the quarterback position instead of a game and a half, you know, or coming in when they're down by 30, okay, give this guy the reins in a game that means something. I think it makes a big, huge difference going into the season for the Houston Texans. I don't know, Cuervo, and maybe I'm wrong, but I want Ryan Mallett to be the starter instead of Brian Good Hoyer.
I do too, though. I have to put it on record before Cuervo comes out. I think Mallett should be too, but I just don't know if he's doing what they think. But he was good in the SEC, wasn't he, Cuervo? When Mallett was there, he'd pick defenses apart.
Yeah, he did. When he was in Arkansas, he did. He was one of the better quarterbacks in the conference. And, you know, and I don't know if you heard Tarvin earlier, if you were listening maybe in the chat room, or just didn't push one or whatever. But when it comes to the Texans, because it sounds like we're back on the Texans now.
Yeah.
I think that spot should go to whoever earns it. Okay, it shouldn't be, well, I think it should go to this guy or that guy, and I think it's going to help the team overall, because the competitiveness overall of that team, if they see the quarterbacks competing, it's going to make everybody else compete too. And the problem with Ryan Mallett, guys, is I think we all assume that he learned under Tom Brady. Now the question is, did he actually learn anything from Tom Brady? And if he did, what did he learn? What did Brady, is Brady really this mentor that everybody thinks he is? Just like we all thought about Brett Favre in Green Bay, did we not? And then it comes out, hey, what do you mean him and Aaron Rodgers didn't really get along like everybody thought? I thought they were cool with each other. No, The problem was, and I'm not saying that Ryan Mallett was a threat to Tom Brady's starting job, but, you know, I think at the same time, we have to sit back and ask the question, did he actually learn anything from Brady? Because if he's teaching him things, then what that's indicating is that, hey, maybe it's near the end for Mr. Brady. But, I mean, we all know that's not the case, but sometimes quarterbacks will misconstrue that as, well, hell, I think the coach is trying to move on from me. And in the case of Green Bay, that is what essentially happened. But, you know, we all can't just assume that he learned anything under Tom Brady, because I hear you saying it, Sonny, but we don't know that to be a proven fact or to any truth behind it, that Tom Brady actually took him under his wing while he was in New England. Well, maybe he didn't teach him anything. Maybe he didn't talk to him at all.
Well, if that be the case, okay, let's just go underneath that scenario. He's going to be a great quarterback because look at Aaron Rodgers. Okay, like I said, you're going to have to give Ryan Mallett more than, you know, a quarter here and a quarter there and putting him in a game that means absolutely nothing. I think that's one of the reasons why. I mean, Tom Brady don't need to teach Ryan Mallett anything. Ryan Mallett just needs to pay attention to Tom Brady. I mean, Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre did not, that was not a love affair. There's absolutely no question. But you can't tell me, okay, that, and I'll just put it out there, that he didn't learn anything from Brett Favre. Are you serious? I mean, the guy's a good football player. There's no question. But all you got to do is look at tape. I mean, in reality, when you look at Brett Favre, if you're Aaron Rodgers, what can you learn? This guy has won the Super Bowl. He's been that guy. You're talking Hall of Fame quarterback. What did he do in order to get this, to get these accolades? So I don't think they actually have to teach them anything or take them under their wings, so to speak, because all you got to do is look at Aaron Rodgers. I think you got to put a guy in a position where he can win a game that means something. You're going to put him in week 15 and your team sucks so bad, you know, that you're not going to have a chance for the playoffs and the team is given up. At least at the beginning of year, everybody, at least for game number one, thinks they can win the Super Bowl. So you get them that opportunity at the beginning of the year. And I just and that's some of the things when you look at some of these other guys that were supposed to be the guy to take over, didn't get the opportunity because they judged them too much on games that don't mean anything. Brian Hoyer. I mean, you can say that he had a great three games at the end of the season against teams that meant nothing, and they won games against teams that weren't going to make – that didn't make the playoffs. And no one cared after that point. So, you know, if that been the case, Brian Hoyer's then second coming. I don't know. I just don't understand what the Texans – I think I would go on potential of what you can get from Ryan Mallett being from where he's from compared to Brian Hoyer showed you absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and I you're right, Sonny. I mean, Mallett's got the – He's got the better frame for an NFL quarterback. He's a bigger guy. He's a taller guy. What I will say about the Rodgers-Favre thing, I could make the argument that Rodgers didn't learn anything from Favre. I really could.
Okay.
Here's what I say to it. You look at the type of quarterback Brett Favre is, and you look at the type of quarterback that Aaron Rodgers is. Name me the similarities. I could tell you the differences all day, but how are they similar?
Well, see, and that's the thing. I don't think you look at the players as far as similarity. I get what you're saying because they're not the same quarterback. They're totally different. But as far as what did Brett Favre do in certain situations, I think that's where you learn. That's where you learn in tape. You learn, you know, in certain positions and certain things that you've got to do as a quarterback in order to have your team win football games. What do you do in certain situations that makes you the guy? What did Brett Favre do well? And what, you know, in not about his athleticism, because they are totally different guys, but reading defenses, what you needed to do. I'm going to tell you right now, Brett Favre knew when to run, when not to, but he didn't run very well either, okay? I think their similarity is that neither one of them can really run. But take away from that, I think the better athlete is Rodgers, but Rodgers had a lot of time to sit behind this guy and go, well, this is what he did in the 3-4 defense that was coming up. What did he do when he had safety, you know, edging in on him and things like that? I think that's where guys learn from tape, from their quarterback that they get more of. And then you have Bill Belichick sitting next to you. This is what Tom did right here. This is why he did it. And so I think the combination of Brady and Belichick, because Belichick, you can say whatever you want, he was right there in Malice face in tape room with him. I guarantee it. Because if sooner or later during that run that Tom Brady was going to go down, there was no question that it's Ryan Mallett that was going to step in, and there's no way that anybody was going to tell Bill Belichick that he wasn't ready when his quarterback went down.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. I don't know if Tarvin had a comment or if we still have
Tarvin
on.
Jump in, my friend. Jump in. And he's silent. He must be on mute. I don't know. He's probably just listening. So, but yeah, you know, it is. It's one of those things. I love talking football, and that's what we're doing here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. We got 15 minutes before Sonny has to bail. I got to go to a Rowlett Eagles booster. I got invited to head on over there to talk a little bit about the radio broadcast for the Rowlett Eagles. So that's why I got to bail at 6:30. But some good. I mean, Tarvin, are you there? What did you see in the preseason that you liked or you disliked? Are you still around? And it looks like we don't have him. So I'll get it back to Cuervo. I mean, anything that happened during the season that you liked or you disliked so far, as far as the season was concerned?
So far this preseason?
Anything that shocked you or stood out? I mean, you watched more football in the preseason this week than I did. I literally watched 5 minutes.
Yeah, I watched about a good hour. I'll be honest. I watched about a good hour. They did a preseason edition of NFL Red Zone, so I watched that. And, you know, it just, like I said earlier, I mean, the injury thing is, I think, is great that really no major stars have gone down to injury. We were talking about the Bears earlier. They've got a significant receiver injury, the rookie. But,
yeah,
you know, other than that, I mean, yeah, everybody's staying healthy. That's good. I would like to see Adrian Peterson at least for one or two drives. I mean, I understand he is who he is, and he's the star running back that he is. However, you got to remember he played two games last year. So
right.
I think for him to get back on the field against some competition would be good for him. And you know, if he's going to have any jitters, have it in the preseason and not
Absolutely.
During the regular season. Because
yep.
they're going to need him ready to go week one, you know, once kickoff goes. So I personally would like to see AP play again, maybe get 5 carries. And after that, maybe the jitters will come out and he'll be ready to go. He'll be back in football mode. I'm sure he's in great shape. I don't think there's any question about that.
Right.
But I think to just get hit by competition again, I think it would do him some good in this preseason. Maybe get 5 carries and then take him out for the game.
Now, I don't know if you heard earlier, and I think because you were fading in and out, but I did a Ted Koppel on it, but now I'll go ahead and just bring in the announcement. The Arizona Cardinals, they go ahead and they grab up Chris Johnson at the quarterback position. They finally agree to terms. It's been something that's been in the works for about 5 days. It's a 1-year deal. So the question is he's going to get 3 weeks in the preseason, and the Arizona Cardinals can cut him. Arizona Cardinals, Chris Johnson, good move. Now, I mean, they need some help. I mean, at least he's a veteran. Are you happy? I mean, if you're the Arizona Cardinals and you're an Arizona Cardinal fan, I'm going to ask a guy who's kind of a closet Arizona Cardinal fan, are you happy with Chris Johnson being signed as a Cardinal?
I think I like the move, Sonny. It's a veteran presence, and I think he complements Ellington very nicely. I mean, you talk about a thunder and lightning, and I don't know how fast Chris Johnson is anymore. I don't know if he's got the speed that he used to, but you know, I think it's a good compliment to Ellington. Obviously, Ellington's going to be the starter, but I think Chris Johnson is a great choice for a backup. I mean, he's a guy that can get you a solid 15 carries in a game and pick up some third downs. And you know, I mean, as long as his mind is right and his head is in the game and he's not, you know, distracted by any negative influences and things like that. And you can say that about any player, but for Chris Johnson specifically, then I think it's a great addition. And now what I'm interested in is what are the terms of this deal? Is it a one-year deal? Like, how much are they going to pay him? Because
1 year deal.
To me, I don't think he's worth more than $1 to $2 million, to be honest with you, if that.
It'll be interesting from what the NFL website is saying. It's a 1 year deal, but here's the thing: according to this, as far as it's concerned, they did not give out the financials of it. So that will be interesting. The NFL knows about the NFL, or the reporters from the NFL will know about the money before anybody else. And so that's the reason why I hopped up on this one. So nothing was said about the money portion of it during this announcements. But I think this is a thing where if you're the Arizona Cardinals, what else you got to lose? I mean, you know, the backup, if you're gonna, I mean, I love Ellington, but you got a guy that's not always 100%. So that being said, if you're not 100%, you know, you got to be able to have a guy that can step in. And I think Bruce Arians, you know, gets that. You're going to be a situation where, you know, Arians is going to find the best way that this guy can help his football team. So I think that's going to be the huge thing.
Yeah, absolutely, Sonny. And that's why I kind of trust the move, too, is because you got a good, solid coach in Bruce Arians who is not a dummy. He's a good coach, and he's smart, and he knows what he's doing. And I think the reason this deal took so long, because it's been a few days now,
yeah.
I think they just wanted to make sure he was the right guy to be a backup to Ellington. And he does have a good mindset, and he's, you know, he understands that he's not going to be the starter unless Ellington gets hurt. I mean, it may not even be a competition, Sonny. I mean, he's signing on to be the backup. That's his
right.
role. And if he's willing to accept it, then, you know, hey. I think that's what took so long is, I guess I would call it the screening process, to make sure that he is committed to that role and to that organization, and he's not going to start questioning, you know, how many carries he gets or anything like that.
Well, they're going to run
so,
the hell out of him, don't you think?
No.
Preseason, I think they do, and I'll tell you the reason why. You're going to have to figure out whether or not those youngsters are going to be able to step in over there at the running back position. I mean, David Johnson, he hasn't been able to practice. So if he's going to be able to get in there and get an opportunity to play, I think if you're going to find out what you're going to get with Chris Johnson, I think you got to run him. I think you got to put him in there. And when I mean a lot, I'm talking about 15 touches in a preseason game is a big number. And I think they could actually do that with Chris Johnson to find out if he still has what he used to have, or at least a close resemblance of what he used to be.
No, I'm with you, Sonny. I think, yeah, in the preseason, I think they're going to run him. I thought you meant during the regular season.
No. I think that at the preseason, they got to figure out if he's got anything, and that's a huge thing. And so that announcement came down about 45 minutes ago, at least as far as I saw. We were in doing what we do, talking football, and I didn't want to break it up for that. But as soon as it came out there, that's going to be huge. But David Cobb, running back, we're back up on Tennessee, ripping them a little bit. However, I think David Cobb was a little bit of a shine. I was looking at some of the plays that they put him in. As we are sitting here talking, I'm watching the NFL highlights. I'm liking what I'm seeing in David Cobb as far as the so the question is will Bishop Skanke, is he going to be the guy as far as that situation is concerned when you look at Atlanta? I mean, when you looked at those two guys, you know, young dudes doing it, who do you think maybe is going to impress more in the season if you look at Atlanta and the Tennessee Titans? Which one you think is the better running back right now?
So my options are Sankey in Tennessee, and who's in
no,
Atlanta
no, no,
now?
No, David Cobb. David Cobb in Tennessee, as far as, and I'm sorry, that was the game that they played against Atlanta. I'm sorry about that. So, but I mean, I felt bad, Cuervo. I jumped on Tennessee really hard in this program because I'm really worried about Ken Wisenhunt because I like him as a coach. I really do. I look at this guy and I have to ask myself, you know, what are you going to do, you know, as far as your running back? But if you're Cobb or Sankey, I mean, for the I'm trying to find a bright spot, so I'm going running back there. If you have your choice, who are you going to start? You going to start Cobb or are you going to go ahead and bring in Sankey?
I like Sankey, I think. I think that's a guy that they drafted to become the starter.
Right.
And I believe he was either the first or the second running back last year taken in the draft. So when you're taken as the number one, number two running back in the draft off the board, there's a reason for that. There's expectation there. So for Sankey, I think his expectation, or the Titans' expectation for him, is to get that starting role.
Right.
And if he somehow gets beat by Cobb, then on top of all the problems that the Titans already have, I think that's another
exactly
situation that they're going to have is, okay, what do we do with this Sankey kid because he's just not cutting it?
Yeah, exactly. That's a huge thing. And I agree with you 100%. They got to figure out what they're going to do. So, but at least, you know, I ripped down to my at least one to end on a positive as far as the Titans were concerned, because, you know, I spent a good portion of this show ripping on the Titans. I'm
sure
a Ken Wisenhunt fan, so I want to at least leave on a positive note as far as that was concerned. So anything else you wanted to touch on as we're about ready to get on out of here?
You know, Sonny, is there a game tonight? Maybe I heard something. Okay. I was going to say, I don't remember there being a Monday night game in the preseason. So, I think we hit the NFL really pretty hard. I appreciate you doing a show, and it was great being on.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to next weekend.
Yeah. What's next weekend? What's going on this next weekend?
More preseason football. So,
I just hope, and this is just me, I just hope that we get through the season and the preseason without too many big injuries to the big guys on a football team that make a difference. And that's the only thing I kind of hope for as I move forward and I look what's happening and everything. I'm hoping that is not to where we can't have a team. I don't want to hear an excuse from a football team that they lost their major guy and that's the reason why they didn't make it. I want to see one year where that doesn't happen. And so far, so good. I mean, we lost some guys, but I don't think they're enough to where they're – I mean, there's an impact on their team, don't get me wrong, but as far as being the guy, I don't think we lost any of those guys.
No, and I agree with you, Sonny. That's why I brought it up earlier is, you know, just like you said, I mean, there hasn't been any major injuries, and I really, really hope that stays, you know, true. So,
right.
You know, let's hope that we don't see any injuries or anything like that happen. So, you know, and the coaches got to be careful. Don't keep your starters in too long.
Yep, exactly. Matter of fact, you know, Barkley, he got seven. This guy did seven actual. He was out there for seven, what are they called? Not plays, but.
Hey, drives?
I pulled a brain. Yeah, seven drives for the Philadelphia Eagles. Huge thing.
Hey guys, can y'all hear me? Hey, hello.
Hey, he's there. How you doing? Hey, finally, you back? Are you there?
Yeah, I couldn't. Y'all couldn't hear me.
Yeah, evidently not. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Damn, I'm sitting over here like, hey, y'all ever gonna come to me?
Yeah. I thought you were just stuck and I couldn't get you out of the thing. I didn't know if you hung up or if you were there. We went to you a couple of times and we couldn't hear.
I know. I was like, hello, I was going to call back in, but I'm about to have to get off now. How late are y'all going?
Actually, we are done here in 1 minute because I got to go to the Rowlett Eagles booster meeting. I was invited to go over there. So,
well, guys, join me Wednesday. Join me Wednesday on my show, both of us.
Definitely. On Wednesday. What time Wednesday?
8:30 Eastern. We'll do
I
one.
I will actually be there.
Me, okay.
Yep.
I'll do one. Yeah.
I'm clearing up my evenings so we can be on. Sunday's still a stretch, but I'm clearing up my evenings because we're getting ready to get into the NFL, and, you know, that's the important time of the year for us at least as far as NFL is concerned. We always keep you going with football talk anyway, but that's going to do it for us. Anything else before we just lost Cuervo? Anything else Cuervo?
No, I think we covered everything, Sonny. Tarvin dropped off?
Yeah, he dropped off, so he bailed out, and I'm going to be there on Wednesday night. So are you going to be over there?
I plan on it.
Cool.
I don't have anything going on, so.
Got it. So he'll be over there. I'll be over there. Head on over to Weigh In Sports Talk Wednesday. I think I'll be up for a Thursday night show as well. So, and definitely a Friday night show. Thursday or Friday night. Friday definite if that works best for you.
I'll be there, Sonny. There'll be some action going on. So.
Yeah.
As we're talking.
Yep.
There's going to be a little bit of football being played. I know you don't care about preseason, but, hey, it's football. It's not NFL replay. It's not, you know, NFL classics. It's live football. So
definitely.
That's what excites me about it.
It is, and we tested our equipment here today. As far as the first half, we did it with a wonderful mixer. We'll find out how that sounded. I don't know. I'll check and listen to it. If not, we'll be up on anyway. So that's going to do it for us here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. I tried to hit our button to get us out, and our music isn't playing. At least I thought it wasn't. Let me see. Yeah, our music isn't gone. You got to love Blog Talk Radio. But that's going to do it for us, everybody. Have a good one. We're out of here. Take care. We'll at least see you Thursday or Friday, probably Friday. We're out of here. Take care. Bye-bye.